Thank you so much for being here. I invite you to take your Bible, go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4. And I want to call your attention to verse 4 through verse 7. Joshua chapter 4, verse 4 through verse 7 reads like this. When Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. A memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about remember. Remember. Two elderly gentlemen were having a conversation, and one said to the other one, he said, I went to a fabulous restaurant the other night. And his friend said, what was the name of the restaurant that you went to the other night? And he said, what's the name of that real good smelling flower? And his friend said, rose. And then the man looked at his wife and he said, Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we went to the other night? Remember. An elderly man was in a convalescent home and said to a lady there one day, he said, I bet you can't guess my age. She said, take your shirt off. He took his shirt off. She said, take your t-shirt off. He took his t-shirt off. She said, flex your chest. He flexed his chest. She said to him, you're 84 years old. He said, how'd you know? She said, you told me yesterday. The children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River. The Jordan River that Dr. Mark Smith and myself baptized many of you in. The children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River, but it wasn't like when we baptized you. The Jordan River was at flood stage, and they needed to cross. And Joshua knew that God had been faithful. Joshua knew that God had parted the Red Sea. And if he can part the Red Sea, he can handle this river. And God parted the river. And the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. And God said to Joshua, wait, Joshua, it doesn't end here. I want you to go out in the middle of that river. And I want each of the men representing the 12 tribes to get a large boulder and put it on the other side of the river. Because I want you to build a memorial over there. Because he said, I want you to be able to tell your children and grandchildren when they say, what's those stones about? I want you to be able to say, that's symbolic of the faithfulness of God. And we remember how God was faithful to see us through. 146 times, God tells us to remember. To remember. And I can say with affirmation, most of us can remember the exact place and locale that we were 15 years ago today. We can remember where we were at when those 19 radical Islamic terrorists hijacked 4 planes. 2 of them crashed in to the World Trade Center. One went in to the Pentagon, and the other crashed in an open field in Pennsylvania. 3,000 innocent people lost their lives. On that day, 10,000 children lost a parent. Now today, if you go to Ground Zero, there's a memorial there. There's a museum there. There's the One World Trade Center there. A building, one of the largest buildings, tallest buildings in the world, that reaches strategically 1,776 feet high. It's a memorial so that we never forget, so that we always remember. And as I began to think about this anniversary, what from a biblical perspective would God want us to remember from this tragedy? And I want to give you a few things from the Bible that God would want us to remember from this terrible tragedy. Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that I think we need to remember is the brevity of life. The brevity of life. The 50,000 people that got up to go to work at the World Trade Center, they just saw it as a normal day. The 26,000 people that went to work that morning at the Pentagon, they just saw it as a normal day. Those people that got on those four airplanes, they didn't have a clue that those four airplanes would be hijacked. Here's what's amazing. It was just a normal day. But you know what the scripture says? In James 4 and 14, it says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And I pray what we learn from September the 11th, ladies and gentlemen, is the brevity of life. The brevity of life. You say, "Well, Pastor, we get old and we die." Tomorrow I stand behind this pulpit. I conduct the funeral service for a 24-year-old young lady. 24 years old, leaving behind a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. A young girl in the prime of life, but she left us. And I pray what we realize, ladies and gentlemen, is we're not promised tomorrow. Too busy to read the Bible, too busy to wait and pray, too busy to speak out kindly to someone by the way, too busy to care and struggle to think of life to come, too busy building mansions to plan for the heavenly home, too busy to help a brother who faces the winter blast, too busy to share his burden when self in the balance is cast, too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky, too busy to serve the master, but not a one of us too busy to die. And may we remember September the 11th, and may it echo in our minds the brevity of life. But there's a second thing that we need to remember from September the 11th. The blessings of freedom. Why did those radical Islamic terrorists attack America? Because they hate our freedom. They hate us for the same reason they hate Israel. Because we're free. And I want to say something today with affirmation. Freedom is biblical. Freedom is not America's gift to the world. Freedom is God's gift to the world. Freedom is God's gift to the world. Listen to what Galatians 3 and 28 says. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, when our founders, at great sacrifice, at great peril, and at great risk, signed the Declaration of Independence, after they signed that document, they didn't mail it out to town clerks. They didn't mail it out to newspapers. The first place they mailed the Declaration of Independence out to was they mailed it out to churches. And churches received this document. And the first Sunday that the pastors received it, after they preached the word, they began to read to their congregations the Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Listen closely. A woman in Saudi Arabia, she can't drive a car. A woman in Saudi Arabia, she can't wear makeup. A woman in Saudi Arabia, she is literally, if she's not submissive, it's legal for her to be beaten. She can't go out without her head covered. She can't wear perfume because she is not free. But our country was founded on the foundation of something that's very biblical, and that is the blessing of freedom. We were founded on the foundation that there should be freedom of expression. We were founded that there should be freedom of worship. There should be freedom to bear arms and to protect yourself. There should be freedom from the intrusion of government into our lives. God gave us that freedom, and men and women have stood and protected us for that freedom. And we owe a debt of gratitude to the men and women that have kept us safe and are keeping us safe. Ladies and gentlemen, on this day, we should remember the brevity of life. On this day, we should remember the blessings of freedom. But on this day, we should remember the brave and courageous. There's a scripture. You want to know where we are as a nation? Psalms 12 and 8 tells us, the wicked walk on every side. That's where we are. The wicked walk on every side. When do they walk on every side, Pastor? When the vilest men are exalted. When the vilest men are exalted. You know who America gives awards for courage to? You know who America gives the Arthur Ashe Courageous Award to? You said, Pastor, who would it be for? Who would be the courageous American that we look to? It's Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn. He or she, but anyway, it's Caitlyn. But right after 9/11, we had an appreciation for some people that we still ought to have appreciation for. That's the men and women in blue. When people were running out of those buildings in 9/11, they were 343 firemen who ran into the buildings. When people were running out, they were 343 firemen who ran into the buildings, who never came out, who paid the ultimate price. There was a time that we honored who the real brave and courageous were. You know, the first reported casualty of 9/11? So, Pastor, who was the first reported casualty of 9/11? I'll tell you who it was. It was a chaplain. It was the chaplain judge of the New York Fire Department, because he saw his men going in. And this chaplain said, they can't go in alone. I've got to go in and I've got to be there. I've got to be there for my men. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, let me just share something to you. Keep your heroes close to home. Your heroes is that teacher. Your heroes is that, is that law enforcement officer. Your heroes, that fireman. Your heroes, that EMT that's sacrificing, that's working long hours, irregular hours, but they want to help their fellow man. That's your heroes. It's not Caitlyn Jenner. It's the fireman. On flight 93, they had heard the reports that the other three had crashed into, two into the World Trade Center and one into the Pentagon, and flight 93 realized it was a terrorist attack. And so the people that are on that plane, a man by the name of Todd Beamer, Jeremy Glick, and Tom Burnett were on that plane. They go to the back of that plane and they realize what's happening. And they said, we got to do something. We can either let this plane go down, or we can charge the cockpit. We've got a decision to make. And listen to me very closely. This is what they did. They said, let's take a vote. Let's take a vote. Let's take a vote. Ladies and gentlemen, something's wrong when we have an election. I'm not voting. I'm just going to stay home. Somebody died for your right to vote. Americans vote. Americans vote to do the right thing. And they took a vote. And they decided they'd charge the cockpit. Some of those airline attendants said, we can get hot pots of water. We can use the serving tray. And we can charge the cockpit. And they charged the cockpit, and the plane crashed and saved thousands of lives, possibly. Folks, we need to realize from September the 11th who the real heroes are and who the brave and courageous really are. It's not many times that athlete. It's not many times that Hollywood star. It's that person that lives right beside you. It's that man or woman that goes to work and serves every day. That's the real heroes. Let me tell you the fourth thing that we learn and need to remember from September the 11th. That is the beauty and importance of words. They said from flight 93, there was 24 phone calls made. Jeremy Glick calls his wife, Liz. And he said, we said I love you 1,000 times. Over and over again. It just brought us so much peace. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very closely. Proverbs 18 and 21 says death and life is in the power of the tongue. You never know when it may be your opportunity to say to your wife, I love you. You never know when it may be your opportunity to say to a friend, I appreciate you. We learn the beauty and the importance of words. Be sure and let them know what they mean, because you may not ever get that opportunity. It's the fifth thing from the story that we need to remember. That is the benevolence of God. The benevolence of God. Somebody said, Pastor, where was God in this tragedy? Colonel Jeffrey O'Leary of the United States Air Force wrote a book after this tragedy, and he basically asked, where was God in this tragedy? And he shared this, listen closely. On American Airlines Flight 77, 289 seats were available. Only 65 people were aboard. On American Airlines Flight 11, 251 seats were available. Only 92 were on board. On United Airlines Flight 175, 351 seats were available. Only 65 on board. On United Airlines Flight 93, 289 seats were available. Only 45 were aboard. I'm not flying any flights like that. I'm always sitting back by the laboratory. Out of a minimum of 75,000 potential victims, more than 93% survived these deplicable acts. The buildings in New York City should have collapsed immediately. Who held them up until tens of thousands could make it out? The Pentagon was hit at its strongest point, but it was nearly empty. In those sections, they were doing renovations. Why did the plane hit in the two sections where they were doing renovations? Where was God on September the 11th? The same place he was on September the 10th, the same place he is today. He's on the throne, in charge and in control, and God is sovereign. So from September the 11th, may we learn, not why God, but God, what are you trying to do in my life? You say, but Brother Benny, it's not good for me right now. If it's not good for you right now, it will be good, because God said he's working all things for your good and his glory. If it's not good right now, it's going to get good. One old boy said it's going to get gooder and gooder, and eventually it's going to turn to tugger. I don't know, but it's going to get good. There's a sixth thing that we learn, and we need to remember. That's the benefits of knowing God. The benefits of knowing God. Somebody said September the 11th. 9 plus 1 plus 1 equals 11. September the 11th, the 254th day of the year. 2 plus 5 plus 4 equals 11. There were 111 days left in the year. 119 is the area code of Iran, Iraq. 1 plus 1 plus 9 equals 11. The Twin Towers looked like an 11. The first plane hit was Flight 11. New York was the 11th state. She said, Pastor, you're going too fast. I can't take all this down. If I slow down, I can't sell you the CD. Afghanistan has 11 letters. Flight 11 had 92 people on it. 9 plus 2 equals 11. The Pentagon is 11 letters. Flight 77 had 65 people on it. 6 plus 5 equals 11. Does any of that mean anything, Pastor? I don't know. But I do know this. The number 11 in the Bible means chaos. It means chaos. And I want you to know something today. Our world's in chaos. We're number 11. Our world's in chaos. But I want you to see something. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 6. And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Listen very closely. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. Five had the Holy Spirit. That's Christians. Five didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now look what it says. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Wait. While the bridegroom tarried, Jesus is in heaven. We're slumbered and sleeping. We're slumbered and sleeping. Listen to me very closely. Vance Havner's correct, and I'll get back to the message. Vance Havner's correct. If the Holy Spirit was taken out of most churches, 95% of them in America would not have to change a thing. We're slumbered and sleeping. And we ought to have a greater fervency for God than we've ever had. Ought to have a greater fervency for Dr. Mark Smith here. That's why I'm pushing people to Ohio Christian. We need to raise up a generation that's going to take this world for Jesus Christ. It's exactly right. Slumbering and sleeping. And the Bible says it's high time we wake out of our sleep. But look what verse 6 says. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Let me tell you, the number 12 means divine government. And I want you to know something. 11 means chaos. But Jesus is going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to set up his kingdom and rule and reign with divine government. You say, wait, Pastor. The tragedy that happened on September the 11th. Do you believe it was prophesied? I believe it's biblical. Those 19 Islamic terrorists, they were taught in cells from early on to worship Allah, keep yourself pure, not even much more look on a woman, let alone have any kind of relations. And they were taught the ultimate prize is if you give your life for Allah, one day you go to the paradise of God. Folks, this is in the Quran. The Shura pulls it out. And once you get there, virgins are waiting for you. 72 of them. Just give your life for Allah. Look what John says. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea. The time cometh that whosoever kill you will think they do God a service. Kill the Jews. Kill the Americans. Kill the infidels. Because you do God a service. Here's what I want you to realize, ladies and gentlemen. Those 19 radical Islamic terrorists are going to stand before a Jew, Jesus, the Lamb of Glory. And here's what I want you to realize. Being American won't take you to heaven. Serving in our military won't take you to heaven. Being patriotic, being a good man or a good woman won't take you to heaven. You've got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Our musicians are coming, and listen to me. Listen. This is very important. I met with the senior adults Wednesday night. They had 20 questions, just a Q&A. One of the questions I didn't get to This was the question. What if a person who's never heard the gospel, can they go to hell? And the answer is yes. But let me explain. According to Romans chapter 1, God speaks to their heart through creation. When they see the sun, God places in their heart that there's a God. In Romans chapter 2, God speaks to these people's hearts through conscience. Through creation and conscience, God speaks to their hearts. But what about people in America, Brother Benny? Are there different levels and degrees of hell? Yes. It's biblical. See, friend, there's one thing for that guy in Bangladesh to go to hell. But it's another thing for the man who lives in the Bible Belt. And the preacher preaches to him week in, week out. And he says no to the gospel. That's a different level of hell. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a horrible thing to live in America and say no to Jesus Christ. Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.